if Jonah had been in control, he'd have walked through there and said, "You bunch of hypocrites, I'm wiping y'all out. Bam, be killed." He wouldn't have given him a chance, would he? But aren't you glad God's God and you're not God? Because see, when they prayed and humbled themselves, it was over another 100 years before this punishment came to Nineveh. God forgave. You know, and I can imagine, and a lot of people always said, you know, that prophet was crazy. He walked through here a while back and said, in 40 days, God's going to wipe this place out. And here it's been 2 years, and he hadn't done it yet. You know, that guy was a liar. No. The people come to repentance.
Amen.
They repented. They changed their ways. And so God was merciful. I mean, just think of the mercy of God when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah have come all the way to heaven. So I'm now come to destroy it. And Abraham said, Lord, I mean, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no. He said, Lord, forgive me, but if I could just find 50 righteous people in those cities of hundreds of thousands, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no, Abraham, if you can find me 50 people that are righteous, I will not destroy the cities for the sake of the righteous. And he got to thinking, well, you know, I've been down there before, and Lord, maybe I can't find 50. So he goes all the way down. Lord, it's this final time, Lord. After he asked him over, Lord, what if I can't find but 10?
That's what he said. That's what
he said. Abraham, if you can find 10 righteous people in those cities, I will not destroy those cities for the sake of the 10. Now, is that a merciful God or is that a merciful God? I don't know, but I believe I can find 10 righteous people in this room. I believe I can find more than 10 in this room. Amen. And then think of all the other Christian people in the Metroplex. You know, there's a lot of good folks in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You know that? A lot of good ones. Is God going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? No. Is he going to tell us what to do and give us a chance to move or to get out or something? Sure he's going to. But those of us that are walking in obedience to his word, we don't have to do anything. We have to change nothing. We just worship him and praise him and thank him. We have no fear. Because here he said, this prophet and man of God said, this is the last hour. He said that 2,000 years ago. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. And boy, there's been a bunch of them in the last 2,000 years, too. You know that? From this we know that the end of the world has come. Now, if you look at that, he's saying right there, the end of the world has come. It's already here. He's now saying the last hour, and now he said the end is here. But how long ago did he say that? 2,000 years ago? Is it still here? Is Jesus coming someday? Yes, he is. But has he come yet? No, he has not. But has he really come yet? Is he living inside of us? Oh, he's here all right, isn't he? And he's here and he's demonstrating his power through you and me. If we'll walk holy before him, he's here. He is here. It's a shame that there's so few of us that was like I was most of my life that didn't walk in obedience to his word. Although I was in church all the time, I didn't know what moved his hand, so I couldn't get him to do anything because I didn't know how to get him to do it. But was he still living in me? He was. That's hard to believe, isn't it, Ernest? That here I am going to church, loving my family, loving God. I'm not a cusser. I'm a man walking in obedience to God's word. But do I ever see God answer a prayer or do a miracle? No, not a single one. I didn't have the faith to do it. I didn't know what was available. So if I can change and I can see God do what I've seen him do in the last 20 years, what do you think's available to you?
Amen. Same
thing, right? God, he don't love me no more than he does you, does he?
Same thing.
I mean, if you do the same things I've done, just think, if I could keep going, and that's where I want to go. If I can keep going up that ladder and get closer and closer to Jesus, the closer I get to Jesus, the greater become the number of things he does for me. Ooh. I mean, if you haven't seen the testimonies of miraculous healings, you watch the first one and you watch the story of Johnny Brumfield. Did you see that, Ernest? Did you get to see Johnny Brumfield's testimony? He's a guy from Mandy, Louisiana that had the crushed knees.
Yes.
You got to see that.
Yes,
yeah. What do you think about him sitting there when he jumped up off that set and starts running around there and jumping?
That's right.
A man that had two crushed knees, and all I got to do is pray for him, and God showed up.
Amen.
Woo! Is that awesome? Is that awesome?
That's awesome.
Now, that's where all of us ought to be living.
Yes.
And I ought to be living beyond that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get there. We're going to get there. He says here, for we know that the end of the world has come. Now, you know, a lot of Christians, you could just read it and say, well, okay, I'm through today. Praise God, the end of the world's coming, Lord. Let's just quit. Let's get a glass of tea and just sit here and wait for it. I ain't going to do that, are you, Keith?
No.
We ain't going to do that because that glass of tea might get dry. We might get old and skeleton be sitting there, you know. Kind of like that picture of the girl says, I'm on hold and ain't nothing left but the skeleton sitting there, you know. That's kind of the way we might be. Well, I know what he says in the Word, but I know that he doesn't mean literally the end of the world is right now. Because it didn't happen. He said it was going to come now. But that 2,000 years ago and it didn't come. But I know it's coming.
Yes, sir.
I have no doubt. These people left our churches because they never really belonged with us. There's a good answer, isn't it? Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left us, it proved that they do not belong with us. When people come into the church and say they get saved, and they walk out, and they never come back, and they say, I'm okay, and they never do anything for Jesus, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, would you? That would give a man and a woman, a mother and a daddy, or an aunt and an uncle, or a grandmother and grandfather, a real good reason to pray for their young people. You know that? Give you a good reason to pray. Because if you don't pray, they ain't never coming back. But if you pray and stay on God's doorstep, every time I think about a story like this, I think about a man that's got a great big ministry right now, that when he was a young man, he loved to sing and play instruments. And he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus, although he was raised up in a great Christian home. He wanted to sing in the clubs. He wanted to be a singer, a rock star. And his mother stayed on God's doorstep. I mean, one time he was out, I think it was New Mexico. He went out there and he didn't tell mama or nobody where he's going with this bunch of guys. And they go out there and they're in a club out there and the phone rings on the wall and a man goes over and says, Kenneth, your mother's on the phone. He said, my mother can't be on the phone because she don't know where I'm at. He said, this woman says she wants to talk to Kenneth Copeland, and she's on the phone. He goes over and said, who is this? He said, Kenneth, this is your mother. Mama, how did you learn where I was? She said, I asked God, and he gave me this telephone number. That telephone call changed Kenneth Copeland, and all of you know what happened to Kenneth Copeland now, right? He left the world and became a great preacher, and he's changed millions of people for the kingdom of God. That's what I say. Thank you for a mama that stayed on the doorstep. She could have stayed home and cried and said, oh, God, you know, my son, you know, he won't serve you. And he could have been lost and been in hell, and the millions of people he's changed could have never been touched. But that mama's going to get some rewards. You know that? Because she said, God, I ain't having my son lost. I'm staying on your doorstep. And, of course, that really convinced Kenneth that the God that his mother served was real because ain't nobody knew he was in that club but God. And ain't nobody knows the telephone on the wall except God. And when she says, who is this? He said, it's your mother. Mother, nobody knows I'm out here. How'd you get this phone? She said, I prayed and God gave me this phone number. Will that make a difference? It changed. That was Kenneth Copeland. I'm almost positive that's Kenneth. I've heard Kenneth Copeland tell that story himself on television. Now, Jesse had one just like it. Okay. Well, you know, God, you know them heathen boys, God had a plan for them heathens, right? And we all know that, obviously, Kenneth was a heathen when he was young. And we know Jesse was a heathen. You know, we've heard him tell how he used to drink a quart of whiskey every day or vodka or whatever. And he was a heathen. And God got a hold of that boy and saved him and changed his life forever. Now, who can God change? He can change anybody. There ain't nothing hard for God. But they got to be some mama or daddy somewhere praying for these kids or they're not going to get saved. But it says if they go out, it proves they did not belong to us. But that doesn't mean they can't belong to us. That means if we pray and do things, they can come back in and they can and will become great young men and women of God. But if you don't pray and pray in faith, it ain't going to happen. When you call on God as a mama and daddy for your children, you should knock on His door and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am coming to the throne of grace for my son, my daughter. This girl, this boy is not living for You. And Lord, I'm living for You. I'm Your son. I'm Your daughter. And when you start talking to God like that, He says, well, come in, my dear. Come right in here and sit down. Jump up in my lap. Let's have a talk. And that's how much He loves you. And when you're walking obedient to His Word, you can come, Master, you can go right up and jump up in your daddy's lap anytime, just like a little girl, can't you? And He'll listen to you. And He will change people's lives when you do that. That's called going to the third heaven. Going to the third heaven. When you go and jump up in His lap in the third heaven, you can change people's lives from up there. I mean, I've done it many a time, and I know some of you have too. Now then, verse 20 and 21. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and all of you know the truth. Now, this is us we're talking about right now. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and falsehood. This is why he's writing, verse 22 and 23. And who is the great liar? The one who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Now, see, we would have thought that was the devil, but the devil's in them.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.